Okay, well, are the doors, anybody else finally? Well, firstly, thank you very much indeed to everybody here for coming, sparing the time to come and hear about our full year results for the year to the end of April, but also about a proposed acquisition that we're asking shareholders to support. We're seeking their support, not only for a Class 1 transaction, but also on a fundraising. So first of all, the results for the year to the end of April. The business model is working. It's working again. It's been a very volatile environment, but you've seen the headline numbers. The results are in absolutely as everybody's expected. Volumes are strong. They're improving in the second half. We grew at 3.2%. I'm getting carried away, Adrian. I haven't even turned the slides. I'm still fixed on this drone. Let down by the... thank you. I hope you don't put up with the nonsense after put up with Brett, where you work. No, that's great. Apologies. So volumes up 3.2%. Building momentum in the year. It's better than the first half. All regions in growth. But we're absolutely delighted by the support and the growth we've had from our pan-European customers who really continue to consolidate their supply chains into DS Smith. We have strengthened the business. We've made a number of acquisitions in the year. And these, but also in the other acquisitions we've made over the years, are really performing very well. We're very pleased with how they've integrated, how we've joined together and made a stronger business. And of course, we've invested in line with our strategic priorities around the packaging, digital printing, improving the offering we can give our customers. E-commerce and display, we had a super capital markets day, and we've really seen very, very good growth in these categories. And in e-commerce, that's gone even further with some of the relationships we have with our customers have just expanded out from their original base. We've delivered against all our financial medium-term targets. What's really important is we enter 2017 with real momentum in the volumes, but momentum with our in terms of recovery of the raw material costs. We're feeling very confident about that. Now, with that backdrop on the results, we've also announced today our proposed acquisition of an absolutely super business called Interstate Resources, and I'll be talking a lot more about that, our first entry into the US fibre-based corrugated packaging market. Adrian.
Well, thank you, Miles, and good morning, everyone. At last year's results presentation, we were voting on Brexit, a foregone conclusion, and we were worrying about what impact all the new European paper capacity would have on pricing, and when DS Smith would make its next transformational acquisition. Well, it's certainly been a very interesting 12 months for us. Miles will run you through the transaction in a moment, but it falls upon me to take you through another great business performance in an extremely volatile 12 months. Once again, I'm able to report that we've delivered against all our targets and that there's good momentum in the business. Not surprisingly, currency translation has had a large positive impact on our translated financial results for the year as a whole. And as usual, in order to explain what's been happening in the business, I'll be talking about the constant currency changes as I go through the presentation. This has been another year of delivering consistently on all our targets. We've had a very good volume growth of 3.2% with a very encouraging second half to the year, particularly in the last quarter, giving momentum into the new year. We're delivering in the upper half of our upgraded margin target and also at the top end of our returns. These figures take into account all acquisitions made. The margin also reflects the high paper costs in the last quarter, which we're fully focused on recovering in the box market. Our balance sheet remains strong, and with decent cash flow, we are, before the new acquisition, below our target gearing level, and EPS was up 7%. Here are our financial headlines. Revenue's up 6% and operating profit up 5%. I'll take you through bridges for these key line items in a moment. That growth is reflected in earnings per share, also up 7% on a constant currency basis and up 19% at actual exchange rates. Dividend per share is up 19% in line with reported EPS growth at actual exchange rates. Asset turnover is another key lever of return on capital and has remained constant year on year, whilst return on average capital employed reflects the full capital base of all acquisitions made. Margin, as I noted earlier, is broadly flat, but does reflect higher paper prices towards the end of the year. Let's now go through the impacts on revenue. Currency translations added £432 million to our reported revenue, which reflects a substantial tailwind, particularly in the first half. Taking a starting point of £4,498 million, the largest impact is from acquisitions contributing circa 3% growth. It's been another busy year with five modestly sized acquisitions, and we're delighted with the performance of these businesses and how well the integration has gone. From there, you'll see that on an underlying basis, revenue grew by 3%. Our 3.2% corrugated box volume delivered an uplift of £78 million, while sales price mix added £9 million, reflecting the pass-through of paper which started going through in the latter part of the year. Other volumes relate to paper recycling and corrugated sheet. Moving now on to the operating profit bridge, our growth has been driven by both volume growth and acquisitions in roughly equal part. FX is a tailwind, as I've discussed, and regarding acquisitions, I'm pleased with the contribution made, and we're seeing the expected synergies from the businesses acquired in the past 2 years. Input costs, as you all know, have been a considerable headwind, as we described at the half year, with a net negative effect of £36 million. In line with our business model, and the same as prior years, we're actively recovering the higher paper prices and packaging. Volumes have been the largest driver of our profit growth with a continued good level of drop-through. Margins have been stable at 9.3%, despite the substantial headwind just discussed, with that level being in the upper half of our target range. Of the corrugated packaging regions, the improvements have been particularly strong in Western Europe and in Central Europe and Italy. What those regions have in common is that both benefited from large acquisitions in the prior financial year, Duropack and Lantero. And what we're seeing is these businesses are now well integrated and delivering the growth we expected. That's a real credit to our teams on the ground and our integration team, who continuously improve what is now a well-trodden integration path. And this gives us great confidence as we embark on another significant acquisition. DACH and Northern Europe have seen a more challenging environment, driven in a large part due to the relative balance in that region between packaging and paper. The UK has seen good growth in overall profitability, driven both by the acquisition in the region and growth from large customers. Cash flow has been good once again. There's been a further significant benefit from working capital. And you can see that in the working capital to sales ratio at the foot of the page of 0.9% as our average rate for the year. We use the average rate through the year as our KPI for obvious reasons, not least because this year end fell on a Sunday, which obviously has an impact on reported inventory. When I first presented to you, I reflected that this would be a real area of focus, and I've described every time since that this remains a constant focus, and I'm always asked if we can do more. When I gave my original comments, I said I was not content to be class-leading in packaging, but wanted to be class-leading by comparison to world-class manufacturing companies and our major customers, not just packaging or paper companies. So where are we today, some 4 years on? Well, I think we've definitely improved, and we're now class-leading, in my opinion, in inventory compared to our immediate competitors, and similarly strong in accounts payable and somewhere in the pack still for accounts receivable, but not yet at the front. Therefore, when compared to our peers, our overall working capital ratio is good, driven by our inventory and creditors management. So how have we got there, and do I believe there is more we can do? First, it's important to note that acquisitions always give us an opportunity to improve, so we do have that advantage over less acquisitive businesses. This is particularly true in inventory and creditors management. We focus hard in inventory to get to this position, and there's still more we can do, particularly around spare parts across our global business. That said, we believe we're uniquely placed in how we manage our make, buy and sell decisions on paper in our packaging business. We've created a paper supply platform which continuously optimizes our overall inventory position. And we've managed, for example, to significantly reduce safety stock that gets held in packaging sites. Thus, when we acquire a new business and integrate them, we're able to secure this benefit very quickly. Turning to receivables, whilst it's true we're not the best performing amongst our immediate peers, we've still been very focused, but the opportunities for improvement are much more limited. Clearly, we always have to balance between either offering discounts for early payment, trying to improve terms with customers that are themselves major multinationals and pretty good at their own working capital management, or selling without recourse high-quality credit receivables. And we seek to always maximise the economic opportunity, as you'd expect. In addition, we review each month with every business their level of receivables and past due balances, and have over the last few years set up centres of excellence for credit management. Turning to payables, this, like inventory management, is an area where we can clearly differentiate ourselves in our industry, and we've again benefited from the global supply chain we've created and apply the same disciplines our major customers apply on us to our own suppliers. We've reduced significantly the number of suppliers we have, and as part of an overall supply chain management strategy, have materially improved our own payment terms. We get this benefit from our scale and our systems and processes. And again, when we acquire a business, this is an immediate and material working capital synergy, which we can achieve relatively quickly. So back to the question, can we do better? And the simple answer is we must be able to. You only have to look at manufacturing companies in other sectors and our pan-European customers, which have significantly negative working capital positions, to see what is the art of the possible. However, 4 years on, I can report it is a slower journey than I expected and has required us to build our internal external supply chain engines and then drive each month for continuous improvement. But the results are improving, and I'm confident they'll improve further. CapEx of £226 million has increased principally due to FX translation, where we are investing in European assets and opportunities to strengthen the business, particularly in e-commerce and display. Our leverage is under our medium-term target of 1.8 times. Taking our starting point last year, we have the benefit of free cash flow. Cash exceptionals broadly track the income statement charge, reflecting integration of new acquisitions and certain restructuring projects. The acquisitions and disposal outflow is the cash cost, including assumed debt, of Creo, Decupac, GoPacker, P&I and Parish Manufacturing. Dividends are clearly a very important component of our return to shareholders. We paid £121 million out for dividends in the year, with 19% growth for this year's total dividend. We seek to match the cash flow of our debt liabilities with the cash generation of our business by currency. This, as you would expect, means that we have approximately three-quarters of our debt denominated in euros. The difference in the FX rate at the year-end versus the prior year-end has increased our translated net debt due to the relative weakening of sterling between those dates. The currency matching of our cash flows means that there's no material impact on our leverage ratio. Here's the usual guidance slide. I'm not going to take you through each line. You can read the figures. The majority of these are similar to last year, updated with FX. And clearly, we'll take specific questions either at the end or through the usual process through investor relations. We include this chart every year for a pretty good reason. It tells the story of how we've delivered excellent returns to our shareholders. Over the last 7 years, we've consistently grown EPS and dividend with a compound annual growth rate of 28% and 25% respectively. On that note, I'd like to hand back to Miles, who's going to take you through the very exciting announcement we made this morning.
Thank you, Adrian. Thank you. So very quickly, building our business organically, and then we'll talk about acquisition. What I really want to say here, we've talked about e-commerce before, and the pace of change and demand from our customers is only increasing. How do we add value? Void space reduction, supply chain optimization, establishing a true industry standard for this new market is working very well. A number of our relationships with our key customers have gone from regional to national to now increasingly towards a pan-European supply. The display success, you've probably seen a number of the displays outside in the foyer. Again, delighted with the growth here. We're up 17% year-on-year organically. Strong support from customers. Again, consolidating their supply chains behind our offering. It's been rewarded with a further recognition from many of our customers. There's Nestle, Mars, etc. We're delighted with the reception, but how we're providing the leadership, the packaging industry that our customers want and expect from us. This has all led to the 3.2% like-for-like improvement in volumes in the last year, and as I said, the second half was stronger than the first half, and we started this new year, and we're busy. Building through acquisitions, as you know, this has been a key feature for us. Acquisitions in 15, 16 and into 16, 17, with Durapac, Lanterra, all entering new regions in Europe for us. How do we understand these businesses, understand the customers, understand the culture? How do we build a stronger business together? And we're very pleased with the response that we've had, the results that they've generated, but the further growth potential they can give us. We have a very experienced integration team that work alongside the M&A throughout the process. And let's not forget, Europe remains a highly fragmented market, and there are some very exciting opportunities for us to work on. So let's just come on to Interstate. This is, as I said, it's a very nice business with a tremendous heritage and ownership. But we believe by joining with Interstate Resources, we will create a higher quality, higher margin group, but with even more growth potential. So what are the transaction highlights? Well, we are seeking to buy 80% of the equity of this US family-owned business based on the East Coast that's focused solely in corrugated packaging and the associated paper. We've undertaken considerable research into the US over a number of years. Everybody knows about this. We've visited many companies, many customers. We reviewed our needs against the various options that we felt could be available. And then we approached Interstate. We went to see them, to talk to them about their business and who we were. It's about a relationship. It's not about respect for investment bankers. It's not about an information memorandum and having some advisors. There weren't advisors. We worked as two companies seeking how can we create value, not only for our shareholders, but for our customers and employees as well. So we had exclusive bilateral negotiations from the start, extensive access to information, staff and facilities. So we're confident about what we're buying from, what we're buying and who we're buying from. The acquisition is expected to be immediately EPS accretive, return on sales and margin accretive, and in the first full year of ownership, which is to 19, we expect it to achieve a return ahead of the group's cost of capital. We have not included any revenue synergies that could come from our customers, the larger FMCG businesses. And I think as a response to this, the owner wanted to retain 20%. I'll be absolutely honest, we would have been very happy to buy everything. but they want to retain 20%. They want to be part of that going forwards, and they can retain that for up to 5 years. They've also have asked to subscribe for $300 million worth of equity in the DS Smith Group as another sign of confidence of how they see the opportunity here. But we're asking our shareholders for the support, firstly, on a Class 1 transaction. It's Class 1 because of the indeterminate final value of the 20% stub equity. And we're also asking shareholders to support a fundraising through a cash placement of £280 million. But I'm delighted to say the response we've had to date has been everything that we hoped that it would be. So why the US? What is it about this market that attracts us? No matter what the returns are, what are we looking to buy into? Does it make sense? Well, I put on this slide here, slide 24, the fundamentals of the North American market. Well, it's a big market. We all know that. The US is a big company. It's got big retailers, big middle class, big brands, big packaging industry, and we like that. It's grown consistently over a number of years, sometimes in line with the US economy, but we feel that the packaging has an opportunity to grow ahead of the economy going forward because of the increasing relevance of packaging to our customers. So we know the GDP outlook for the US is strong and has remained so. And very importantly, the market is quite consolidated. About 70% is operated by four very good competitors. They're large, they're very experienced. And that concentration has driven margins. It's a higher margin business in Europe. And the price stability is also far greater than in Europe. But 30% of a very large market still remains outside of the top four. So how can we think that we can make money in this market? Well, we think there is an opportunity for packaging to develop further, and we would like to be part of that. We can see the market in many of the categories they're working on is behind where Europe is, but there's a strong appetite from our customers to see the development in packaging. I've put some examples here, which many of you will be familiar with, because we've led this market in Europe over the last 7 years. We are the ones talking about the opportunity for retail-ready packaging. Look at the penetration we've got to in the UK, where we started. 50% of products in the retailers are now retail-ready, compared to 15% in the US. But in the US, labour costs in store increasing. It's now common to pay over $10 an hour. There's expensive operating stores. And guess what? Footfall is falling because people are going to the internet, so they need a more efficient solution in store. It's called shelf-ready packaging, and we have the technology and we have the experience to come behind that. You look at performance packaging. Again, in DS Smith, we've led that market. How do we provide our customers with the solutions they need using less fibre? Using less. Being a more efficient box, selling on the performance, not the specification of the box. We start in the UK. We're less than 30% of the market in the UK. Look on that graph how we've driven down the average grammage, and we share that benefit with our customers. We can see the US is still a long way ahead. You can park a truck on a lot of their boxes. They're great boxes. But we think there's an opportunity here to work with our customers and share in that benefit. E-commerce is growing strongly. Fantastic customers there, fantastic business, and it's growing. And you know what our unparalleled position in e-commerce is in Europe. What can we do? How we can support the whole industry in raising the value creation with our customers. Global customer opportunity, 17 of our largest 20 customers. These are the people we've grown with. These are the people who've had consistent growth well above the group average. 17 of those 20 who've come in behind DS Smith work in the US. And of course, we've been talking to them. What are their needs? How do they see it? And that's given us the confidence. So that's the market. And here is Interstate. As I said, it's a nice business. Good ownership. Good values. Good People. It's based on the East Coast. It's what's important, it's not just national coverage, it's more about state concentrations, and it has a very good proximity to Europe, which helps to drive our supply chain efficiencies. It has 12 corrugated sites. It's mainly focused in the food and drink sectors, very stable and growing categories. It has 2 paper mills. It's very important for us about security of supply for us in the US. It has a craft mill. The US market is dominated by craft, and we think that the position of this mill down in the southeast is in the most attractive wood basket of anywhere in the world. The trees go very quickly. Energy costs are very competitive, and the infrastructure is excellent. It's on the East Coast, so again we can build supply chain synergies with Europe. The assets are well maintained, but it is a smaller company than DS Smith. And in working with the people there, we can see how together we can build a stronger business in Interstate. We've had extensive access to the management. We know who these people are, said we like the people, and they're excited about it. We've agreed a management structure and key processes, and we're in the stage at the moment of going through and populating that and talking and assessing it, people. Again, I think that's why the family wanted to retain 20% in the business. So about the money, it all sounds great, but how much do we make? It's principal measures, return on capital employed, and we're confident of the returns. We're confident we can achieve above cost of capital returns in the first full year of ownership, immediately EPS accretive and ROS accretive as well. And we're maintaining a strong balance sheet, not leveraging ourselves up so that we can't afford to carry on developing and growing this business. Strong balance sheet, but our valuation is based on the synergised returns, our outlook for 2017 and beyond, and the results of 2017 in the year to date are materially ahead of 2016. And in addition to that, an acquisition has been made post-2016 that's contributed $6 million of EBITDA. On top of that, we have synergy creation, $25 million of cost synergies by year 3, and $95 million of working capital, the supply chain, creditor terms, stock holding. This is where we see opportunities, bring them to DS Smith standards. But as Adrian said, we're nowhere near the best of manufacturing. There's still a long way to go. We've got to learn and develop and improve the cash flow from our working capital. Slide 28. Those synergies, where do they come from? On the cost side, we've got procurement and operations. There are some associated costs with achieving that, but a lot of that is on CapEx. It's not going through the P&L. It's getting the assets to the condition that we believe our customers would want as we enter some new markets and IT and integrating the business. I've talked about the working capital. Revenue growth opportunities from our customers are not included in the analysis. We've agreed the management structure. And on the integration, we have an absolutely super team here who've worked alongside all of our transactions. The person who head this up was part of the SCA integration, the Durapac integration, and we feel we have strong processes, strong people, strong approach. But it's about the customer at the end of the day. Can we win with our customers? There are some very good US competitors there. They've been there a long time. They know their business. So what gives us the confidence? Because we've spoken to our customers. I think we understand their future needs. And in those discussions, while we've never mentioned Interstate, we've obviously received some very, very encouraging, very strong feedback from a number of them. In the meetings, we said, well, would you put that in an announcement? Couldn't hold them back. This is the one from two super customers. And here's Mondelez. You know, we're their sole supplier. They don't want to work with anybody else in Europe. Not interested. It's been long term. I know they're delighted with what we've provided, and we're delighted to have them as a customer. And as they say here, we're their sole supplier, and they're excited about our entry into this market. And same with Nestle. What a super, super company. Long-term relationships. And again, they look forward to working with us on a more strategic basis across a wider geography. There's nobody else can do this. There's nobody else. So we feel how are we strengthening our business model? And here is how we strengthen it. We're strengthening it with our customers, and we're strengthening it with our supply chain as well. So we feel that that margin uplift we should get from this is because of a stronger business. In terms of the transaction overview, it is two-stage. We do have an option after 5 years to take full ownership. That 20% is subject to an annual put by the vendor if they want to do that. And then we do have an option at the end of the 5 years. Let's see where we get to, but we do have that option ourselves to acquire everything. It is subject to shareholder approval and competition clearance. We don't believe that we have any barriers there, because our business in the US at the moment is solely around plastic packaging, a different category. And by the way, that's gone extremely well over the last few years. So if everything happens, we expect it should be closing at the end of September, subject to that clearance. The acquisition financing, we've got the initial consideration. We do have the placings that I've spoken about. Their new debt facilities as well have been arranged. I think you'll be looking to take those out into the capital markets in due course. The leverage is held at a sensible level. It does allow for the put to be exercised and not to over-leverage our balance sheet, allowing us to continue to invest and grow. But the group is very cash generative. You know about our commitment to leverage. You know about our 2x leverage, and we'll be driving the debt down to that level, and also a commitment to maintaining an investment grade rating. So in summary, we're pleased with last year. Volatile background, delivered all our numbers, but we won with the customer. And we've run in some key long-term categories, e-commerce and display. We've hit our medium-term targets, but we enter the new year with some momentum in there. And on the back of that, we're absolutely delighted to make our first entry into the US market. And thank you very much, everybody, for listening to our presentation. But we're very happy to take questions that anybody may have.
It's Barry Dixon from Davy, and congratulations on the deal. A couple of questions, if I could. First, in terms of the European business, obviously a strong performance in volumes. Miles, maybe just give us some sense as to the volumes since the end of April, perhaps by region around Europe, relative to the 3.2 in the full year. And also, we've seen sort of fairly substantial price increases on paper, both Kraftliner and recycled, and maybe how your efforts at recovering that in corrugated prices are going. You might give us some sense as to where corrugated prices are year to date in percentage terms. Secondly, just on the deal, if you could perhaps give us some sense as to the 14 was. 15 seemed to be a very good year for Interstate, and then 16 was poor. Maybe you might give us some sense as to why 16 was poor, and then what's causing the performance in 17 to be so materially better than 16. Were there a couple of one-offs in that? Perhaps you might give us some sense on that. And then the 25 million of synergies, procurement and operational, maybe you might also give us a little bit more colour on that, in particular, I suppose, in the sense that you don't have a business there already, so it's hard to sort of try and get our heads around where the synergies come from in that context. So thank you for that.
All questions that are very active. If I just start on the European business and we'll come on with the deal. So in Europe, you see the first half, we had 2.9 like-for-like growth, full year 3.2. You can do the maths. You can see the second half for us was strong. And it was building during the second half, and that build has continued into May and June. So we're busy. But these are 2 months. Who knows where it's going to lead to? But we're busy. We're seeing more consolidation of our big customers behind our offerings, so things are turning even more to a pan-European business. I think it's true to say we've seen some regions have been strong and are actually building momentum in their economies. Places like Iberia has been very strong for us. We've seen France improving. Germany's always been quite reasonably strong. It's still there. Eastern Europe is good. UK, we're growing very well, but I think that's more about our focus in particular categories. The actual, as we all know, the economy is looking a little bit more quite as robust as it was a couple of years ago. But for us, we maintain being very busy because of our sector focus. So all regions are in growth last year, and all regions are in growth again in the start of this year, and it's strong. You're absolutely right, Barry, about pricing. We saw agents put up the graph. You can see the raw material cost, that which is paper for us predominantly, really come in the final quarter. We saw some very steep increases, and it's about recovering that. As you know, we have a very well-worn path here. It takes us, most of it is agreed with our customers. We have mechanisms about pass-throughs. We've always passed the cost reductions back when raw material costs go down, and we like to have that return to us when raw material costs go up. I wouldn't say it's quite mechanical, but it is, you know, it's a well-worn path, and our margin, our cost recovery state is absolutely where we expected it to be. Such is the size of the increase. It's not about 1%. I mean, these are quite sizable increases. And they need to be recovered. And therefore, we're absolutely where we expected to be. Our performance-based packaging also allows us to mitigate that with our customers. And again, that's another margin-enhancing activity for us. How do you mitigate the increase? By changing people on performance of the packaging rather than specification. We gain in that as a second process. So we're quite comfortable with it. In terms of the deal itself, 16 was a poor year for the business. We have examined that in detail. It is a class one transaction, and therefore we have to report, and we can only report all the audited numbers. But we're very satisfied with where 2017 is and the reasons of why the profits dipped in 2016. 2017 is materially ahead of 16. And there's the acquisition, and we're confident about making the financial returns that we published. It's difficult for me to say any more, considering it's a class one transaction in terms of 2016, but we have examined this in a lot of detail. We know where we are on that. Adrian, synergies?
Yeah, synergies. As you say, Barry, you know, it's not a sort of a contiguous acquisition for us, so you don't have the usual restructuring and reworking of the asset footprint. However, what we do have is our procurement platform that it comes into, which accounts for a bit of it. But most of our synergies are around operational performance and how we are going to be operating the asset. So we talked a little bit earlier about how we operate as a business between paper and packaging, the whole make, buy, sell, the paper sourcing platform, and how we're optimizing what goes through the conversion facilities. This will be part of that. We will look at clearly performance packaging and the opportunities around that. We have, you know, a degree of experience within our own mill utilization from recycling. We'll be working with that. We clearly have opportunities around our own fiber utilization and our recycling business. We'll be working around that. And because it's a class one transaction, we have had to have all of our synergies validated and indeed I wouldn't say haircut, but certainly put in place as a number that a third party can stand behind hasn't validated. So I'm very comfortable with those. What we haven't included is any synergies for revenue. We haven't taken into account that if we grow the customer base with customers that we have, and we can utilize the surplus capacity that's previously gone to export, that's not included at all. So clearly, you know, there's an opportunity that we're going to be focusing on. But in terms of the cost synergies, I think we have a pretty good roadmap to achieve those. And on working capital, hopefully, you know, I know I went on a little bit, but it's to try and give some color around why we're comfortable about $95 million of synergies there.
Very good. The questions? Click.
Thanks so much. Alex Meads from JP Morgan. A couple of questions just on the deal. Firstly, I wonder if you could quantify or give some sense for the capacity utilization of their packaging operations. Is there room to grow? And as that happens, is it likely that the long paper position that the company is currently in might start to slim down? Secondly, just on the mix between kraft and recycled CCM, do you see that mix shifting, evolving towards your European mix in time, or is it something structural that you intend to retain? I'll leave it there.
No, it's the business is long paper. It produces more paper than it can than its packaging requires. It therefore means that it does sell business on the export markets, and they can be very volatile in the pricing. And that has happened over the past couple of years, and it's one of the reasons for some of the volatility. So the question is, how can we switch that long paper into a US supply? And that's where our organic growth on the revenue, there are some potential bolt-on acquisition opportunities, nothing large, but how do we start to balance that business so it's much more integrated? There is some supply opportunity from elsewhere, so our main objective is how do we build the packaging side, because the financial returns from that are really very attractive, as well as obviously meeting our customers' expectations. Could be talking about 200,000 ton switch into the US. When we come to the mix of business, I think it's around the light weighting. It's absolutely true that Testliner recycled paper can offer some very attractive, very cost attractive solutions compared to kraft. So I think it's more a question about the light weighting in the market over the medium term, and I think there are some opportunities there for CCM. We've got a very enviable basis and experience in Europe. So again, let's just see how this evolves, but we can certainly see some really value-adding opportunities to start to change the types of paper. If we can get the American customer onto the performance of the packaging, then we've got an absolutely super opportunity of making the same success as previously. Yeah. More questions? Down here.
Hi, I'm Justin Jordan from Jefferies. Just a few on the deal, obviously, firstly. Just on page 23, you talk about $300 million of consideration to the vendor in equity. Just so we're clear, is that presumably being done at the placing price, and what sort of lock-ins has the vendor got on that consideration shares that they're getting?
So it's based on the three-day average price for issue, so it will be a fixed number of shares which we calculated today, and the lock-in is half for 6 months, half for 12 months.
Thank you. And just on page 28, the $55 to $60 million of one-off costs within the first 3 years, can you just give us some color as to what exactly you're doing to the business, and I'm assuming that's over and above its existing kind of maintenance capex, whatever.
Yeah, so it's a split, as Mark said, between capital and operating costs, substantially capital. You have the obvious starting points, which go into, which we put into every acquisition we make around health and safety in terms of getting the plant in a format that's consistent with how we operate globally in our standards. There is work around looking at the ensuring that the way the plants operate and manufacture again is consistent and can operate within our own performance packaging type of operations. And then there's capital around certainly our impact center and how we present to the customer. So there's a reasonable investment, as you can see, predominantly capital to get the business to how, you know, to a closer to a DS Smith look and feel to start with. And then we look at what's required going forward as we grow the business. So I don't know if that helps you, Justin, but
that's great. Sorry, just one final thing on the deal. Obviously, historically, you've talked about an enviable bias to FMCG in your European operations. Can you just give us some sense on the same sort of like-for-like basis what the FMCG percentage of this business is currently before you obviously change it or improve it?
Well, the business is predominantly food and drink. There are some well-known companies in there around confectionery, etc., but it's predominantly there. There's little industrial and manufacturing customer base. And we like that because of its consistency of demand. It's a strong platform. There's no great concentration with customers. So you feel good local positions that we can really start to build on. There's very little overlap with our customer base, which is obviously an opportunity for us.
And just one final thing just on core DS Smith, as it were. Adrian, you talked about having sold some high-quality receivables without recourse at the end of the year. Can you quantify how much of that was at the end of April?
I didn't say at the end of the year, Justin.
Sorry.
Through the year, we constantly make a decision about whether you take cash discounts, whether you sell receivables, whether you change your credit terms. So this could go on every year. So it's not a year-end action.
Sorry, can you just quantify how much, please?
No more than, I wouldn't quantify how much I'm giving cash discounts for, neither would you expect me to. But it's not a material figure, and it's something we do in the same way as we give discounts, we extend terms, we get reduced terms. It's a normal business activity.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, good morning. Hector Forsyth from Stifel. A couple of questions for you, please. Very first question is, can you tell us what your WACC is? You refer to it several
9%
times.
9% pre-tax, Hector.
Pardon?
9% pre-tax.
Thank you very much. In terms of on the deal, can you say a little bit about management structure? You said that you've planned that through.
Yep.
But can you give us some indications of who those people are and who's staying, etc.?
Absolutely. we'll talk to individuals first about their position. But we have, but in terms of the management structure, it is something that is extremely important. So on day one, when the acquisition completes, a management structure is in place, fully populated. Everybody knows what his or her roles are, where they're reporting, duties and objectives. That will be in place in the on the first day of completion. We have to be careful about gun jumping because of the antitrust, so we can't change anything prior to that. But the management structure that will be in place in the US, it mirrors what we have in Europe. So you've got paper, you have packaging, you have the group functions, and we spent a lot of time and a lot of money building our group-wide platforms. It's what's allowed us to make these acquisitions. When we buy a business, we don't just change the name and walk away. We're talking about a full integration on procurement, with customers, with operations, with the supply chain, with IT, with finance, with HR. So we have the group-wide functions will stretch across to the US. You'll have a US management team, and there'll be a head of paper, a head of packaging, and you'll have this supply platform that we've spoken about how we optimize the relationship between paper and packaging. And that fulcrum has developed, has created so much value from the SCA acquisition, which let's not forget, we bought that business in SCA on a projection of 150 million euros of profit. Previous year, it made 30, because we were confident in how we could run it. It was the same with Durapac. How can we create value in these businesses by deploying the group technology and expertise that we spent so long in developing? And so the management structure will mirror what we have in Europe. The head of the US will report directly to myself. And my reports in Europe have been slimmed down to allow me the time to spend with that US team. There's a full integration team as well. People will be based over there, but that's no different to what we've done in Durapac, with SCA, or with into Iberia. And that's all been discussed and is being agreed with the people in Interstate. We've discussed it with the previous owners. We discussed it with the management team now, and we're going through in the assessment of people and just understanding more about the individuals there. We can't gun jump, but we're well advanced on this.
Okay, thank you. Previously, you've obviously articulated a view that you'd like to reduce your paper capacity within Europe.
Yes.
Has this deal modified any of that thinking?
No, not in slightest. The US is a different market. It's far more consolidated, whereas in Europe you have a lot of independent paper capacity. So the price of paper is going up. We're able to source paper. There's no difficulty with us. We're a huge buyer. We source globally. This paper capacity hasn't changed anything on Europe, but in the US, with the consolidation, we just felt that it was right for us to have more in-house supply as a first entry into that market, so we can concentrate on developing the business rather than are we going to get supplies. It gives us the security of supply in that market.
Okay, thank you.
Question from...
Feedback from customers, isn't it?
Mm. Good morning, it's Harry Phillips, Peel Hunt. Two questions, please. First of all, will you do anything with their debt in terms of refinancing or whatever? And then secondly, is Interstate the entry point for e-commerce and DS Smith in that context into North America, or can it be?
Okay, I'll do the first, you can do the second then. In terms of refinancing the debt, yes, the current debt situation involves secured debt in the business, as you'd expect, with a small company, so we have to remove the security and refinance it. But that's the assumption behind our 400 million bridge, and we would take that out through a debt capital markets issue, realistically, as soon as we practically can. Which won't be within the next 2 weeks, but I'd expect within the next six.
Yeah, this business is a very good entry point to us. We have to make the right returns, and we can see how we do that. That's why I wanted the East Coast, etc. What we haven't included is any real growth opportunities with in the various sectors that we favour. And that's what we have to work out. As you can imagine, we do have a number of plans. I think what we want to come back to shareholders and say that we bought this business, it's your money. You've trusted us with your money. These are the returns we're making for it. Have we made those synergies? Are we creating the returns that we've committed to? How do we then start to build out and start to close that paper long position? And then what about these customers? There's some super, very good existing suppliers, but how can we put more innovation and lift that market? That's the bit we want to come back and say, this is how it's looking, what's the traction we're getting with this? And if those three things happen, then you can start to see the returns, you start getting a bit of real sizzle on the returns, it starts looking very attractive, and then it's a question of how do we build out. But let's get this right first. Get our customers, let's create these synergies, let's close that paper, let's build out a bit, and then we'll be coming back and talking about it in more detail. It's a huge market, a lot of opportunity there. The first thing is let's get it right. Right. Okay. Well, look, we've been running for 55 minutes. We always like to be on time. So just to say thank you very much, everybody, for your time today. We really do appreciate you coming and listening to us. We're pleased with last year's results. There's good momentum into the current year. We're absolutely delighted to make this first move into the US, and we'll be coming back to tell you more about it in the near future. Thank you very much.